Unfortunately, this fear-mongering has been going on for some time, but it's only gotten worse and worse and has been really appalling in the presidential campaigns of Donald Trump and Ben Carson in particular. Donald Trump, of course, and most flamboyantly, but the amount of unnecessary fear and fear-mongering that we see is truly terrifying, actually. And I find that the actual stoking of fear of a minority group in our society to be very frightening, very bad development for our democracy, that's for sure.
Well, and what would you say to those, you know, who are Christian Americans, as we know the majority of our population are, who say, you know, why should I care if they're scared? Why should I care about that demographic of people?
Well, I guess I just feel, of course, seriously, if anyone is a Christian, they should care about all people. Almost all Muslims are good citizens, and they are good people with actually very conservative values. They actually have a lot in common with conservative Christians in terms of their values. The overwhelming majority, I mean, I would say almost all Muslims are peace-loving people, and they are really no different from the rest of us. This is not to deny the existence of extremism on the global scene, which is very frightening. And believe me, I'm not underestimating the terror that is caused by this. And I understand the fear people have, but it is misdirected if it is directed toward ordinary people, like those who say that the Syrian that we won't allow any Syrian refugees in here. Most of these Syrian refugees, almost all of them, are fleeing from the very violence that we fear. They are ordinary, persecuted people who I would think we should help to find a safe refuge instead of persecuting further.
As is true in the Bible and many, if not all, historical religious texts, the Quran has been criticized for containing bigoted language, often making women second-class citizens, for instance. Are these critiques fair in your estimation?
This is an enormous subject. I mean, the interpretation of any scripture is a huge topic, and I teach whole courses on this. So I will try to be very brief and just to say that certainly there are passages in the Quran that, if taken out of context in particular, can be used to promote all sorts of terrible things, including misogyny and the regarding of Jews and Christians as enemies. But the thing is, you have to look at the whole text and not just take out a particular verse out of context.
What were your initial thoughts when it started coming out that the shooters in San Bernardino had some ties to these extremist groups?
Well, Of course, I was very dismayed. I think it's important to note that they didn't actually have ties, but that it's true the woman had said something, you know, on Facebook. But the language that ISIS has used, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it didn't indicate that they were actual operatives on their behalf, but that they were sort of, you know, I don't remember the term they used, but it was akin to being a sympathizer.
What about terror groups, though, like ISIS? Mm-hmm. Is it, mm-hmm. you know, is it fair for them to say that they're following Islam? Are they maybe appropriating some of these passages for their own message, but are they still followers of Islam?
There's no one interpretation of Islam. You know, Islam is a huge, complex tradition that has been interpreted and practiced differently by different people, and just as Christianity is. So this is not anything unique to Islam. But the whole question of, you know, are they Islamic or not, is the wrong question, because there are many ways that one can interpret Islam. The interpretation they follow is actually that of Saudi Arabia. I mean, so the Saudi kingdom originated in a movement, the Wahhabi movement, which you've probably heard about because it's been discussed a lot in the media ever since September 11th, 2001. But the Wahhabi movement was a very militant and intolerant movement that was very bloody and basically declared its own extremely strict and rigid and untraditional. This is something that I think people don't realize. It's actually very untraditional. It rejected centuries of development of the tradition, the intellectual and mystical sides which had come to predominate in Islamic civilization and among Muslim scholars were rejected by the Wahhabis, and anyone who didn't embrace their particular interpretation was simply killed. And so as somebody wrote in a recent editorial that was translated from French and published in the New York Times, Saudi Arabia is a successful ISIS. They are responsible, really, for funding the groups that developed into Al-Qaeda and ultimately into ISIS. So ISIS is doing things that, of course, you can find some precedent for in Islamic tradition. The whole question of whether or not ISIS is Islamic, I mean, is I actually just came from a conference in Atlanta, the annual meeting of the American Academy of Religion, and the Islam sessions had a number of panels on which speakers addressed this question. And I think it's interesting that even scholars of Islam approached it in different ways. There was one person who actually said that tactics that ISIS is using were used by the first caliph, the first successor to Muhammad, but that once the state became established, it moderated and those practices were not used anymore. Practices such as the mass executions, the really bloody and horrifying forms of executions, the enslavement of women, all of this. These practices have been decried by many Muslims. There were 100 traditional Muslim scholars around the world who wrote an open letter to ISIS saying what you are doing goes against the consensus of the Muslim scholars. Certainly what ISIS is doing horrifies almost all Muslims all over the world. They are, of course, killing many more Muslims than they are killing non-Muslims.
What can or should be done to better our understanding of what it means to be Muslim, especially, in regards to how we treat migrants who are fleeing terror?
Yeah. Well, I think the best thing to do is to get to know Muslims. If you get to know Muslims, I mean, I don't know anyone who's gotten to know Muslims in our own community who hasn't been totally charmed by them, frankly, finding them to be incredibly generous and good people, the kind of people you would like to have as neighbors, that sort of thing. They tend to be hardworking people, quiet people, people who are very mindful of their responsibilities, and as I said, generous. I mean, I have spent many years in the Middle East, and really, Americans would have a hard time imagining the extent of generosity that is sort of the typical way of giving hospitality among Middle Easterners, and that certainly includes Muslims.